Today's shiur is Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Zayin, and we will begin by Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, seven lines from the wide lines. Tan Rabbanan Yisrael Moil Havikachavim L'Shem Ger. Yisrael has a right to do a bris milah on a Nachri if the purpose of doing this bris milah is that he should become, that this individual should become a ger. A lafuki, says the Gemara, what we're learning from here is that mshum murna, which the Gemara is going to define in a moment, the loy, you're not allowed to do so. There is a machloikis rishonim when the Gemara says here that a Yisrael is only allowed to make a bris milah on a nachri is if his intention is to become a ger, but not for other purposes. Is that even if the Yisrael is going to get paid? Rashi's opinion and Tosfos' opinion is that if the Yisrael is going to be paid, the halacha is that it's mutter. There are other, however, because then if he wouldn't do it, then there's going to be Ava if you're a professional doctor and you're refusing to take care of me. Therefore, many Rishonim try to understand if according to Rashi and Tosfos, the permissibility here is because of the concern of Eva, what's going to be a halacha where there is no Eva? Would the Yisrael, who's getting paid, be allowed to do the bris, do the circumcision, or it's only when he's getting paid, and then there's a consideration of Eva? And it seems that the opinion of the many Rishonim is that even without getting paid, there would be Eva, but the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is that there has to be Eva and payment, and only when you have both of those considerations, may the Yisrael do the circumcision. Vav Kachavim continues the Brisa. Vav Kachavim and Anachri lo Yom Yisrael shall not do a bris on Yisrael. Nei shechshudim al shvichas damim divrei Rameh. Rameh is concerned that they're going to do that, who knows what they could do to the child. Chamimrim, whereas the opinion of the Chamim is Avik Chavim Mals Yisrael, Avik Chavim could do a bris on Yisrael, Bezman Shachem Ayim the Malgabai, when there are others who are supervising the Yisraelim, that he shouldn't do anything wrong. Ava Beinoy LeBeinoy, in the privacy alone of a Nachri and a Jewish child, law, it should not be done. Rameh Omer, says the Gemara, that according to Rameh, it seems, that even if there are others who are supervising, law, we should not allow the Nachri to do the bris. And the reason being, the Zimun, the Matzle Sakina, he may tilt the knife to do irreparable damage to this child. He can make the child chas v'shalom into a krishivcha, somebody that will never be able to have children. So in order to avoid that, the halacha says, Rameh says, never let him do the bris milah. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That Sav Rameh, the Rameh's opinion is that Ayvik Chavim, that a nachri should never be allowed to do a circumcision on a Jewish child. The Brisa teaches us, if you have a city that doesn't have anybody who's capable of doing a bris, and you have two people who could potentially do such a circumcision, a roife kuti and a roife evkechavim. The halacha is yomel evkechavim and yomel kuti, because the kutim do make a bris milah, but when they make a bris milah, what they have in mind is their avodah zarah. And since they do make bris for their children, but when they make the bris for the child, they have in mind their avodah zarah. That's why we cannot let the kuti do this. We should not let the kuti do the bris. However, the nachrim don't make bris milah. They don't make circumcisions. It's not part of what they do. So since it's not part of what they do, when somebody asks a nachri, to make a bris milah for a Jewish child, there's no concern that he's going to have in mind his avodah zara, because he doesn't. That's not part of what his practice is. Divrei Rameya. Yehuda Imer, Yuma Kutiv Al Yomer Rav Kechavim, because as we're learning, Yehuda is concerned that what kind of harm can the Nochri possibly do to the Jewish child. But he's not worried about anything else. He's not worried about who they have in mind. And therefore we see from Rameyer that he's not concerned that there could be terrible damage done during the Bris Milah. And here we're saying, the Rameyer says, that a Yisrael should never allow a Nochri to do the Bris, because who knows, even when he's supervised, because who knows what he could do in one moment type of damage. Says the Gemara, because of this question, Epoch, says the Gemara, we have to reverse the opinion. Ramey is going to be the one to say, Yom Kuti v'loyev kachavim, that only we should allow a Kuti and not a Nochri, because with a Nochri you have to concern about what kind of harm he could cause. And Rabbi Huda's opinion is, Ayv kachavim could do the Bris, because he doesn't have any improper, he's not having in mind his avodah zarah, the like kuti, but we can't let the kuti do the bris. Ask the Gemara, but according to this understanding, we're allowing, Rabbi Yehuda is allowing a nochri to do a bris. Ask the Gemara, the Savar of Yehuda, is it indeed the opinion of Yehuda that Ayv kachavim shapadami, that a nochri is allowed, that a nochri is allowed to do a bris for a Jewish child? V'hatanya, have we not learned in a brayser? How do we know that a bris that's done by a nochri is considered disqualified? Says the Gemara, because the pasuk says shenemar v'yom elokim al Avram v'atas brisi tishmar. So only people such as you, Jewish people, v'loy of the kachavim, and not of the kachavim. So how can we suggest that Yehuda says that we're allowed to have a nochri do bris? And therefore the Gemara says loy tefech. We shouldn't reverse the opinions. And we asked Astir and Rameya. Here Rameya says that a kuti may not do the bris because there's a concern that what kind of irreparable damage he's going to do. And here it says that Rameya says that when there's no Jewish moil available, we should use a nochri moil and not a kuti. Answers the Gemara, the way to reconcile the opinion of Rameya is hachav ma'iskinen b'roif b'mumcha, that when there's an expert doctor who is concerned about his reputation, that's where Rameya will allow a nochri to do a bris. And teaches us the Gemara, ki asar avdimi, am Rav Yochanan, because when he taught us the mumcha l'rabim, if you have a nochri who's a mumcha l'rabim, mutter, we're allowed to allow him to make a bris because he's concerned about his reputation. And Tosfos points out that the definition of a mumcha l'rabim does not necessarily mean somebody who is an expert in the field of milah. Even if he's not necessarily an expert in the field of milah, but he is a professional doctor, and he is concerned about his reputation, that is enough of a reason that we could allow him to do the bris. Continues the Gemara, the Savar of Yehuda Kuti Shapadami, but according to this understanding, that we're going back to the original understanding of the brises, according to this, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a kuti can make a bris. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Would Rabbi Yehuda hold that a kuti can make a bris? Vatanya Yisrael malas a kuti. Yisrael could do a bris on a kuti. V'kuti layamos Yisrael, but a kuti should not do a bris on a Jewish child. Nei shemal l'shem hagrizim, as we said, they had the image of a pigeon of a yoina on top of Hagrizim, which they worshipped. And there's a concern that when the kuti makes the bris, he has that avodah zara in mind, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Yosi, v'chichechem metzinu milah min ha'tayor l'shma, to which Rabbi Yosi says to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, there's a concern But where do we find in halacha that a bris has to be made lishma, that would now have a concern that the kuti has the wrong machshava in mind? Al mava halach, the halacha is that he could do any bris, but he expresses himself in a sharp way, as Ashetetzi in the Shmasai, Rabbi Yossi cursed the kutim because they are oivdei avodah zara. So we're back to where we started. Says the Gemara, we have to reverse the opinions. Ramei is the one that says a kuti, not a nachri. Rabbi Yehuda says a nachri and not a kuti. How to reconcile the Rabbi Yehuda, how we reconcile Ramei? Very simple, because according to Ramei, he always holds that we never allow a nachri to make a bris. Uda kakash Rabbi Yehuda, but we have a stira in Yehuda. Here he says that a nachri should do the bris, where Rabbi Yehuda says in another brisa that a nachri may not do a bris. Says the Gemara that hahi, the brisa that has Rabbi Yehuda holding that a nachri may not make a bris on a Jewish child, is not Rabbi Yehuda that we are discussing here, but rather it's Rabbi Yehuda Anasihi. It represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. The Tanya, it is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Aimer, that Menayan Mila by Bekachavim Shipsula. How do we know that Nachri, we can't use a Nachri to make a bris? Tamalayim Va'atas Brisi Tishmar, it has to be a Jewish person. Arav Chizda, my Tama Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that a Kuti may not make a bris Mila? Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, V'kiyoga itcha ger v'osa pesach la'ashem, him aloy kol zocher. So we see from here that the bris has to be made Lashem Himal. It has to be made Lashem Hashem. But as we've been saying, the Kutim, when they make a bris, they make the bris Lashem Har Grizim. That's why it's disqualified. The Nachri, who doesn't make circumcision at all, so then he's just doing what he's being asked by the Yisrael to do, and he doesn't have in mind his Avodah Zarah, because that's not part of their practice at all. And therefore, the halacha is that the bris is fine. And the Rishonim make a point. From here, we're seeing that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require that the bris has to be made l'shma. What he's requiring is that it should not be made l'shem avodah zarah. And as long as it's not made l'shem avodah zarah, we're fine. Rabbi Yehuda says, himo yimel, that the bris is kosher, even when it's not l'shem Hashem. That's why Rabbi Yossi commented, v'heichem et sinem and milim and atayra l'shma. So I saw that the Karen Ira asks a question. Even if there's no pasuk, as Rabbi Yossi just taught us, that teaches us explicitly that a bris has to be made l'shma, but a bris is a mitzvah of Sei Daraisa. And the question that he asks is that we know that every mitzvah has to be done. Every mitzvah has to be done, mitzvah tzrichas kavanas. So mitzvah tzrichas kavana, how could a bris be done by a nachri who can't have the proper kavana? So the Sefer Peru Meshulchan Gvoya quotes Rabbi Chanan in the Kaibachurim and Masechta Ksubis. He says that where is their requirement, where mitzvah tzrichas kavana, is when the mitzvah is what we have to do. And mitzvah tzrichas kavana teaches us that the mitzvah has to be made l'shma. But when the purpose of the mitzvah is not the mitzvah, the purpose of the mitzvah is the result of the mitzvah, then we don't have to do l'shma. For example, he says, tztaka. Tztaka doesn't have to be done l'shma. Hashavas aveda, returning somebody's lost object, doesn't have to be made l'shma. Paying off a debt. All of these are mitzvahs that don't have to be made l'shma. And the reason, he explains, that they don't have to be done l'shma is because in those mitzvahs, it's not the act of the mitzvah which defines the mitzvah. It's what the mitzvah accomplishes is how the mitzvah is defined. So he explains, by tztaka, the purpose of the mitzvah is that the mitzvah should be made, the purpose of the mitzvah is that the person who needs tzedakah should get tzedakah. So therefore, when we speak about the bris milah, the mitzvah of bris milah is not the actual making the bris. The mitzvah of the bris milah is that the person should be a person that's gemalit, a person that has a bris milah. If that's the case, even if the bris milah is done without kavana, it doesn't make a difference, because that's not the type of mitzvah where we say, that's not the type of mitzvah where we say mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Vidach, Rav Yossi, how could Rav Yossi suggest that the milah of a kuti is fine? Doesn't the pasuk say Lashem milah, Lashem himah, which clearly indicates that the bris has to be done lishma? Says the Gemara, who be pesach siv? The pasuk says, the pasuk continues saying Vasa pesach Lashem, that the common pesach, as we know the halacha is regarding the common pesach has to be made lishma, but that has nothing to do on the bris. And I saw that the Chasam Sofer explains what is the machloikus of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Says, what is the purpose of the bris milah? If the purpose of the bris milah is just the removal of the arla, if that's all the purpose of the bris milah is, so then it doesn't make a difference if who does it. And that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Because as long as the arla was removed, then the bris has been accomplished. But if the purpose of the bris milah, as we said maybe a moment ago, is that the purpose of the bris milah is to make this individual into what we call a gemalata individual, if that's the purpose of the bris milah, then it's very different. And then the halacha would require that the person who's making the bris, as Rabbi Yehuda say, should be somebody who does it l'shma. Vidach nami, but ask the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda, haksiv himel yimel, isn't that clearly indication that anybody could do a bris milah? Says the Gemara, Dibre Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam, we find that the Torah many times repeats itself. And just like people, when they speak, sometimes repeat themselves, just not because they're trying to teach, say something new, it's just to add emphasis. Dibre Torah Kolosh Bnei Adam also says the same, that it was repeated just because the Torah wants to get the point across, but not that the Torah is trying to teach us some sort of a new halacha. And if that's the case, then the halacha will be that anybody could do a bris milah. Itmar, so continues the Gemara, Menayin lemilah b'yadav kecham shipsua. How do we know that a milah that was done by a nochri is possible? Darabar Papa Mishmeidra Omar, Vatas Brisi Tishmar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, Vatas Brisi Tishmar, Atav Zaracha Achrecha L'Deraisam. And here we see that only somebody who is a descendant of Avram Avinu can make a bris. Rav Yochanan says, Himal Yimal. And the way Rav Yochanan explains the pasuk is Hamol, only somebody who is himself a person that had a bris, Yimel can make a bris. So both of them are going to agree that only a Jew can make a bris. Says the Gemara, my benayu, what's going to be the nafkamina? Says the Gemara, Ravi mol, the Gvoni mol, ikmenayu. If we have an Arab, and actually the opinion of the Rambam is that the B'nai Keturah had to have a bris, the B'nai questions how far he takes it. Manda omer, himel, yimel, that only somebody who himself has a bris can make a bris ika. These are individuals that have a bris. However, mandam is brisi tishmar, atvizracha akrecha, it only can be descendants of Ramavinu, leka. So if he's, even if he had a bris milah, but he's not a descendant of Ramavinu, not a member of Klai, so he can make a bris. Says the Gemara, lamanda omar, hima yima ika. According to the manda omar, that says that somebody, even though he's a nochri, but if he has a bris milah, he can make a bris. Ask the Gemara Vatanan, have we not learned a Mishnah Masech Nedarim? If somebody says, Kainim Shaninanim and Arelim, he makes another that he won't have any benefit from Arelim. So the Allah is Mutab Arelim Yisrael. Even if you have a member of Klai Yisrael that does not have a bris milah, that individual is not included in the nether. But he can't have any benefit from a Nochri, even if he had a bris. Alma, what do we see from here? The Afagav, the Mili, that even if Nochrim did have a bris, command the Loi Mili Dami. The halacha is that it's not considered as if they had a bris. So why we say that as long as the nachri had a bris, he could make a bris? Says the Gemara, "Ikav nayu b'Yisrael shemeches echem machs mila." If there's a Yisrael whose brothers died, the hemophiliacs, and they died during a bris mila, and therefore loy malua, this is an individual that didn't have a bris. He's Jewish, but he permissibly did not have a bris. Lamandam, according to the opinion that atas brisi tishmar, that he has to be a descendant of Rav Avraham Avinu Ika, he could be a mile. However, according to the Mandamar that learns from Himal Yimal, Hamol, only someone who he himself had a bris, Yimal can make a bris. Lekka, he would not be able to make a bris mila. Ask the Gemara, the Mandamar Himal Yimal Lekka, that if somebody didn't have a bris, he can't make a bris for someone else. But Tanan, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah says, in Masech the Nadarim, Kaidim Shani Nanim Emulim, if somebody made a neder, they won't have any benefit from somebody who had a bris. The halacha is also Be'eril Yisrael, all members of Klal Yisrael are considered Mulim. And therefore, even though this specific individual did not have a bris, he's still in the category of Mulim. Umutta B'mulim have the Kachavim, and even if you'll have a Nachri that did have a bris, he can't have benefit from him. Amma, what do we see from here? That when we speak about Klal Yisrael, Afagav the Loy Mili, even if this particular Jew did not have a bris, but in Halacha, he's considered Kaman Dehili Dami, that he is considered a bris. Tosfos asks a very simple question. He says, when we learn Masechta and Nedarim, we know that when the Gemara determined, when the Gemara Mishnayis tried to determine what is the definition of a neder, we always find that what do people mean when they say? So as Tosfos, the standard of what is or isn't included when we speak about Helchus, when we speak about Nedarim, is a very different standard than in all other situations. So how could we be comparing the two Gemaras? So Tosfos answers that when somebody says Mulim, we don't know how to really define that word. And the definition, and this is a rule that comes up often when you learn Masechta Nedarim, when we don't know how to define words, we go to the Pasuk, and according to the way the Pasuk defines the word, that will be the way that we should know how to define the word. So yes, the rule by Nedarim is Dibritari Kolosha B'nai Adam, but the Losha B'nai Adam in many situations is based on what the Torah means with certain words. And since that's the case, therefore it's considered that we are looking at what the Pasuk defines. Elak Benayu says the Gemara, there's another nafkamina between how we learn these Pesukim. Isha, could a woman make a bris mila? Lamandama atas brisi tishma leka. It's not. The Isha la bas milahi. A woman isn't in the parsha a mila. Lamanda Amar, however, according to Mandam that follows Himal Yimal, Ika, because the woman in Halacha is considered like she already had a bris. She doesn't have to go through the actual operation. Ask the Gemara, can there be possibly an opinion that says the woman can't make a bris? V'ksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say that the Tikach Tzipa Tzra V'tichris is Arlus B'noi? So we see Tzipira made a bris. Answers the Gemara, Kribe V'tikach Tzipira Tzra. She took the knife, but she didn't do the actual bris. But ask the Gemara V'ksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say V'tichris? So she actually did the bris. Kari Beviti Kares, which means the Armele Inish Achrinah V'Ovid. She asked somebody else to do the actual bris. V'ba Yisema, another way of understanding, is Ashi Iyav Aschala. She began the actual bris mila. V'asa Moshe, but Moshe Rabbeinu finished it off, and that's where the bris mila was done. The Ben Ish Chai in the Sefer Ben Yehuda says there's a very interesting Medrash Pliya. The Medrash Pliya says, V'tikach tzipayra tzar, melamed Shemalta Bepeh. When we learn that Medrash, it seems that the Medrash is saying that the Bris Milah was done with her mouth, which is, of course, difficult to understand that somebody did a Bris Milah with their mouth. But says the Ben Ishchai, according to the Gemara that we're learning now, it's most understandable. Because what the Gemara is saying is that the Medrash is saying that she did a Bepeh, because she, since she herself cannot do the Bris Milah, what she did was Bepeh. She asked somebody else to do the Bris Milah on her behalf. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, when the Gemara asks, when we're saying here that somebody else did the Bris Milah, we know that the Pasuk says that this story happened b'moloim. It happened in the inn, in the hotel, as they were going to Mitzrayim. So who was there? Which Jewish person was there that he could have possibly done the bris? So Chaim Kanievsky suggests that it must have been Gershom. And he says it must have been that Gershom was already 3 years old and he was old enough to make a bris. But that in itself is a very difficult answer. So I saw a different answer. It goes back to something that we mentioned a little earlier in our shiur. The Rambam says that the Bnei Keturah, the children of Avraham Avinu that he had from Keturah, are supposed to have a bris. There's a big question when we speak about the Bnei Keturah having a bris. What does the Rambam mean? Does the Rambam mean that they're mechuyiv to have a bris milah for all future generations? Or does the Rambam mean to say that that generation, but if we're going to say that all Pnei Keturah for all future generations have to have a bris, then we could say that who was standing there? The bris milah was done by somebody for the Pnei Keturah who was there to do the bris milah. The halacha is that a woman, as the Gemara is saying, should not do the bris, and over here, the halacha is that the bris was done by Moshe Rabbeinu. As long as it was started, even though it was started by Tzipira, who's disqualified to do a bris, it doesn't make a difference as long as it was completed by Moshe Rabbeinu, who's qualified to do the bris. So I saw that the Sefer Maravs and Igra asks a question, why by a bris milah is the halacha that a bris, even if it's started by a person who's not qualified to make a bris milah, as long as the bris milah is completed by somebody who's qualified to make the bris milah, it's considered a kosher bris milah. Whereas when we speak about shechita, the halacha is if the act of shechita was begun by somebody who's disqualified to do a shechita, even though it was finished by somebody who is qualified, the shechita would be disqualified. Why is there a different halacha? And it goes back, and the answer to this question perhaps goes back to something that we discussed earlier in our shiur. When we speak about the mitzvah of bris milah, the mitzvah of bris milah is different than the mitzvah of shechita. The mitzvah of shechita is that the animal has to be slaughtered, and the animal has to be slaughtered properly. In order for the animal to be slaughtered properly, you need a shochet, and you need a shochet who's going to do it right. And anybody who's involved, who's disqualified, disqualifies the shechita. But whereas, when we speak about a bris milah, the main point of the mitzvah of bris milah, as we've been saying in our shurim, is that this person should be a person who is a gemalata. What makes the person a gemalot? What makes the person gemalot is that he had a proper, is that he has no, that he had a bris milah. The finishing touch is what makes him a gemalata. And therefore, as long as the finishing touch of the bris milah was done by somebody's kosher, the fact that the rest was not is immaterial. But now we have a very interesting question. The Gemara says that women are clearly not obligated in the mitzvah bris milah. Not only are women not obligated in the mitzvah bris milah, we're discussing that a woman can't even be a male. But we know when we say Brichas Hamazon, we say at the end of the bracha, we say the bracha of Neidelcha, Vabrischa Shechsamta Bersereinu. And the question is, women, if we're learning, are not obligated in the mitzvah bris mila, so how do they say that part of that nusach of Brichas Hamazon? And in fact, because of this, the Rama in Or HaChaim Simon Kuf Pei Zayin Sif Gimel says that women should actually not say that. But we know that that is not the minhag olam, that's not what most people do. Most people, of course, everybody, men and women, all say Vabrischa Shesanta Bevsereinu. So the Magen Avraham says that the answer to this question is something that we just learned in our Gemara. Because our Gemara says, Isha Kamanda Maladamya. What is the definition of Isha Kamanda Maladamya? The definition of Isha Kamanda Maladamya is that a woman is not pshat that she didn't have bris mila. Misha Maladamya means that she is already considered like she had a bris mila without having the actual operation. If that's the case, the halach is that she could say, Abrischa Shesamta Bevsereinu. There are those, not everybody agrees with this, because the Sefer Nazirah Shimshon says, when the Gemara says, Ishi Kamanda Malyadami, it doesn't mean that a woman is considered like she had a bris mila. The way to understand, he says, Ishi Kamanda Malyadamya, is that a woman doesn't have an orla. So if a woman doesn't have an orla, she doesn't have to have a bris. But it's not to be understood that the woman is like she had a bris. The Baal HaTanya in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav has a different explanation. He says, because ishtoi kegufoi, so when a man has a bris, that bris, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, does not only cover the man, it also covers the woman. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin Sif Katan Tes has a different explanation. He says, when we say in Noidelcha V'Abrischa Shosanta B'Sereinu, what we're really focusing on is on Eretz Yisrael. Shenchata L'Avaseinu Eretz Chemda Toiva Rechava. He says, what we're saying is that Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Eretz Yisrael. And what we're trying to say is why were we zoich to get Eretz Yisrael? Because we were careful to follow the mitzvah of Bris Mila. So when the woman is mentioning the Bris Mila, she's not saying that I myself had a Bris Mila. As we're learning, that women don't have a Bris Mila. What they're saying is that had a Klal Yisrael get that, the halacha is because the reality is that it's because of the mitzvah of bris. However, it does say the Aruch HaShulchan that if a man is saying Birchas Hamazon and he omits the words V'abrischa Shosamta V'Sereinu, he has to go back. Whereas he says if a woman is saying Birchas Hamazon and they skip the words V'abrischa Shosamta V'Sereinu, even though we just finished explaining that women can't say those words, it doesn't mean that it's not the same as by men. And if they skip those words, they need not repeat the Brichas Hamazon. Says the Mishnah, Rapim Mehem, we could use Nokrim for Ripui Momen, Avaloi Ripui Nefoshes. Tomorrow we'll explain what that means. They must stop Mehem become Mokrim. We're not allowed to have a haircut from a Nokri anywhere, Divir Ameya. The Chamam Brishus Rabim, where they'll be observed, it's Mutter, Avaloi Beinoi Lebeinoi. Not in a place where nobody could see what's happening. Begins the Gemara, the Mishnah differentiate between Ripi Mammon and Ripi Nefoshes. So ask the Gemara, my Ripi Mammon and my Ripi Nefoshes. Ilay my Ripi Mammon, Beschar, that we're allowed, if we're paying, then we're allowed to use a Nochri doctor. Ripi Nefoshes, Bechinam, Ripi Nefoshes when we're not paying. Says, ask the Gemara, if that's what the Mishnah means, listening, so the Mishnah should have said, Misrapim Mehem Beschar, Avloi Bechinam. That we could use them if we're paying in that. Ella Ripi Mammon refers to Davish Ein by Sakana, where there's no Sakana involved, and then we could use them Ask the Gemara, how could that be pshat in the Mishnah? Ask the Gemara, because the Gemara, didn't Rabbi Yehuda teach us, even just having a minimal puncture to let blood, the halacha is that we're not allowed to have, we can't use them for that service. Ella, ripui mamin means behemtoi. You could use a nachri to care for your animal. Ripui nefashis, when we speak about ripui nefashis, it's talking about on your body. Vadidam Rabbi Yehuda, that asking a nachri to do a procedure on the person himself, I feel rived at the kaslinsa, even something so minimal, like metzinim, and they were not allowed to use them. Says the Gemara, Amar Abchizdar, Amar Mar Ukva, Aval Im, Amar Loi, Samplani Yafaloi, Samplani Raloi. We're not actually asking the Nachri to do a procedure. Just the Nachri is giving us advice, which medicine is good, which medicine is not good. That we could do. Because Sover, the Reif, the doctor, the non-Jewish, the Reif and Nukri is thinking, surely, Mishaeli, that the fact that he just asked me for advice, but he didn't actually ask me to treat him, so the Nukri thinks to himself, Kehecha de Mashaloi, just like this Jew turned to him for advice, Mashal and Shachrina, he's turning to other doctors from that are going to give him advice. And also Gavra, and if the other doctor says, you know, the advice that you were given by this doctor actually is dangerous for you, also Gavra Lera Nafshi, so he's putting himself into a bad place. And since he's putting back in a bad place, therefore, he'll certainly only tell him the truth. But the Beis Yosef says he should not take the medicine unless he does indeed verify that this medicine works. The other Rishonim disagree. The other Rishonim say it depends. If the person whom he asked is a person who he considers a reliable person, then he could take them, then he could rely on him. If the person whom he asked is a person whom he doesn't rely on, then he shouldn't ask, then he shouldn't take, shouldn't just take what he says. Somebody who's in a very bad place and we're not sure if he's going to make it. The halacha is Amos Rapim him. He could not use a nachri, because here the nachri is not going to be concerned to do the wrong thing, because anyway we look at this patient that we're not sure he's going to make it. But if we have a situation of Vadei Meis, this person is terminal. So now I'm strapping many because we have nothing to lose. Mace asked the Gemara, how can we take this position and say that since this person is certainly going to die, we could use the Nakri because we have nothing to lose. But ask the Gemara, Ikachai Shah, there's every moment of life. Every moment of life is valuable. And here, if we're going to have this person treat him, he may lose even those few minutes of life. Answers the Gemara, for those minutes, we're not worried. And this Gemara needs to be understood. The Gemara doesn't mean to say that we're not worried about Chai Shah. On the contrary, we're very concerned about Chai Shah. But as the Gemara teaches us, we have to look at the whole picture. Says the Gemara, the Ksiv, the Pasuk speaks about four people who are Metzaira that came back to the city when there was a hunger. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Zayin, explains that we're talking about the Gehazi and his children that got cursed by Elisha. The story goes that Naaman, who was the general of Aram, became a Metzaira. And he came to Elisha, and Elisha sent him to the Yarden to bathe himself, and that's how the Tzaras left him. Naaman, of course, was most grateful to Elisha, and he wanted to give him gifts, which Elisha refused. But Gehazi and his children took those gifts. They told Naaman that they were told to take the gifts. And at that point, Gehazi and his children became Mitzrayim. And the pasuk says, as these people were outside the city because they were Mitzrayim, Gehazi and his children, and they didn't have what to eat. And they said, Imanu Novi Iev Arabi Iev Masnasham. They didn't know what to do. Should they stay where they are, or should they come to the city? Because if they come to the city, maybe they'll be able to find food and survive. But the Bnei Aram were looking to kill them. And they decided that it's better that they should come to the city, even though they were putting their lives into their hands. But ask the Gemara, if they're coming to the city and they're caught and killed, they'll be killed immediately. Why were they not concerned about that? V'kechai Shah, says the Gemara, Elav, from here we see, L'chai Shah Lo'chashinan, that amount of time doesn't make a difference. Ask the Gemara Meisvei, that we're learning now, that if it's only Chai Shah, then we're not so concerned. The Brisa says, Lo Yisav Yitin Adam Im Aminim. A person should not have any connection with that Bikarsim. And even if the person is going to die, and this is his only option, he's not allowed to go to them. And says the Gemara Masaba ben Dama ben Achoshesh Rebel Shmol, Shekisha Nachish, Reb Shmol's nephew was bitten by a snake, Oba Yaakov Ishkva Sechanya, who was a famous apikoris, Lerapaisai, V'loi Hinich Reb Shmol did not allow. V'amlai Reb Shmol Achi, and Ben Daima said to his uncle, Reb Shmol Achi, Hanach Loi V'erpemeni, I let him take care of me. And the Avi Mikram and Atayra, and I'm even going to show you a pasuk Shemotar, that it's permissible. And says the Gemara, Lahispik Ligmar Dover, and Benama did not have the opportunity to finish his point, Achiyasu Nishmasai, until he expired. Umais. The Karl of Rabbi Shmal, Ashrecha Ben Daima Shagufcha Tayr, you were a person that was tar. V'yotza Nishras Batara, you passed away saying the word Mutter. Somebody who violates what Chazal say is deserving to be bitten by a snake. And therefore, if Chazal say that we're not allowed to go to such a doctor, even for Chai Shah. So we have a question. Is it Mutzer or not? Answers the Gemara, it depends who is the doctor. Shani Minas Damashchet. This Yaakov Ishmina, who the Gemara identified, Rav Yaakov Ishakanya, was not just an apikoris, he was a very famous, terrible apikoris. And there's a special concern of the Osi Minas Lemeshka Srayu. There we may be caught, he's going to be caught up with Avodah Zarah. Many Rishonim explain what does it mean that it's going to be caught up with the Avodah Zarah, that this Apikoros Yaakov used not regular standard medicine. The medical procedures that he used were all Avodah Zarah methods. And since they were Avodah Zarah methods, that's why the halacha is that you can't use that under any circumstances because you're using Avodah Zarah. Amamar, so Rav Shmuel declared, Levat al divrei chavercha, shayom rem paris gadi shkana nefesh. Says the Gemara, Inami Cheviterkia. Ben Daima was bitten by a snake. Says the Gemara, what it meant here is Chavi de Rabbanan, the Lesle Susaklal. If you violate what the Rabbanan says, you don't have refuah. Says the Gemara, may have a little maimer. What was Ben Daima going to say, which he never got a chance to say, that would have proven that maybe he is allowed to be treated by that doctor, because the Torah says, "V'chay behem ani el shmatam eschu koyse v'smishpata eshiyasa oisa adam v'chay behem ani Hashem v'loy shiyamus behem." A person should do everything to live. So I saw that Chedush Arim says that this should be understood. This passage should be understood v'chay behem v'loy shiyamus behem. That the Torah is teaching us how are we supposed to do a mitzvah. The way we're supposed to do a mitzvah is v'chai behem. You're supposed to do a mitzvah with chiyus. You're supposed to do a mitzvah with lively, in a lively fashion. Not do a mitzvah half dead. Rav Shmuel, why didn't he allow, according to this pasuk, to use this doctor? It says the Marhani Mili Bitsina, if the person is being treated Bitsina, then it would be fine. Abba Faresya, if it's being done publicly, Loi, the pasuk of V'chai Behem is not going to allow us to use such a doctor. The Tanya of Shmuel Omer, that somebody's challenged, worship of Avodah Zarah, otherwise you'll be killed. That the Loch Shiyav of Yaharik, Tamaloimar, V'chai Behem, V'loi Shiyav Behem, V'loi Shiyav Behem. A person should do everything to live, not die. Yochal Afilah B'Faresya, even if it's a situation of Faresya, Tamaloim V'loi Yitzchal Shem Kotchi. The biggest concern that we have is that we should never create a Chil Hashem. Our obligation is V'Nekdashti B'Saif B'nei Yisrael. And if a Jew is going to have a refuah through a Nochri B'Faresya, the Halach is that he's not allowed to do that. There is a Machlokes Rishonim, Tosfos and the Rambam. Here we're learning the Gemara differentiates between Tzina and Faresya. What would be the halacha if somebody is doing something, it's Betzina, so there's room for leniency, but he wants to be Machmer? Is he allowed to be Machmer? The opinion of Tosfos is that he has a right to be Machmer. The opinion of Tosfos is that he's not allowed to be Machmer. There's a big discussion. Our Gemara is talking about Chai Shah and what we're allowed to do for Chai Shah, what we're allowed to do for Chai Shah. The Shvus Yaakov, based on this Gemara, discusses a question with somebody who's very ill. And if he won't do anything, he's going to die fairly soon. But if he does a treatment, he may live or he may just die right away. And the question is, what should that person do? And the Shvus Yaakov says, based on our Gemara, that our Gemara has been speaking about Chai Shah, but our Gemara has been sort of differentiating different situations of Chai Shah, that he says that based on our Gemara, the halacha would be that if there's strong advice to do this type of a procedure, he should have it done.